Welcome to our regular Bait the Hook events at Cornerstone Anglican Church. These faithful and faith-filled seminars look to open up a dialogue with the world around us, a new way to engage people into meaningful discussions around God and His impact on our daily lives. In part one of this latest Bait the Hook event, Dr. Tim Peters looks at our broken world and the superhero culture that arises from it. And he asks the question, do we need another hero?
Welcome. Thanks for coming along. These nights are talking about faith and culture, and tonight we're talking about superheroes and faith. Part of the work I do engages in popular culture and popular representations. I'm a legal academic, I teach law, so the work I do engages questions of law in popular culture, but it also engages questions of theology in popular culture, and that's part of what I'm talking about tonight. Superheroes, saviors, and a broken world. This is going to be interactive. So, first question, do you have a favourite superhero? Supergirl, cool, we're going to throw some of these up on the board. Any other favourites in the room? Green Lantern. The Incredible Hulk. Superman. Batman. And we could keep going and fill the entire board, because there are a lot of superheroes. Anyone notice that? There's a lot of superheroes. One of the starting questions that I have is, why has the superhero genre become so popular? It has its main origins in comics from the 40s and 50s in the US, but in the last 25 years, particularly on screen, the superhero genre has become massive. And so I've got a couple of responses to why has it become so prominent, particularly the superhero film or the superhero TV series. One aspect is the technologies that go into cinematography have made it possible and easier to present these fantastic tales, these tales of people with superpowers, undertaking great feats, doing all these amazing things. Alongside that is the fact that there's a whole bunch of comic book stories that the filmmakers can draw upon to actually make more films. So it's this sort of ready-made set of stories that filmmakers can take up and produce. So there's sort of some commercial reasons in there. Another aspect of the prominence of the superhero genre is in part a response to what's sometimes referred to as the zeitgeist or world events or what's going on in culture. A bunch of the literature analysing superhero films, particularly sort of about 10, 15 years ago, placed the superhero genre in the context of post-9/11 and the war on terror and anxieties around terrorism and this perceived need for extraordinary measures or exceptional measures to be undertaken in response to these anxieties and terrorism. But the bit that I'm interested in tonight is what could be called social or cultural desires that the superhero genre potentially taps into and picks up on. A desire for a savior, which we're going to talk about a little bit. A desire for justice, that we actually want to see justice occur in the world. And a desire to make sense of the world, that in part is to see evil punished. We like to see, we want to see good win over bad, right? We want to see the villain or the criminal dealt with. There's a sense of wanting to make sense of the world. One aspect of that is that we are potentially unconvinced that our social institutions can solve or resolve the crises that we face, that potentially they're not quite up to the job. Whether that's social crises, environmental crises, cultural, economic, or geopolitical crises, there's this sense of disillusionment that the superhero genre taps into. So for those who like the superhero genre, why? What is it about this genre or these stories? Good always wins, and the bad guys lose. Potentially the playing out of revenge, of a justice beyond the law that we don't normally see, is part of it. If the superhero genre taps into our desire for meaning, for justice, and for something to be done in response to crisis, this links it at one level to what's sometimes referred to as the sociological reason for things like myth, but also like a sociological reason for religion, right? That it gives us meaning, a place in the world, determining our role. And there's a whole cottage industry of books that explore this. So there's things like The Gospel According to Superheroes, Do the Gods Wear Capes, Our Gods Wear Spandex, Holy Superheroes, and all these books trying to analyse what is it about the superhero genre and how does it pick up upon different aspects of religious themes. But underlying that, if this is right, if the superhero genre does tap into some of our desires for meaning, what is it that we're longing for? What are we desiring? And I won't get you to actually answer this one out loud, but what are you longing for? What is your heart crying out for? What are we desiring? If the genre taps into these desires, then we have to do a couple of things. We need to do a little bit more work. So, next question. What makes a superhero? So they have to have superpowers? Or the means of extraordinary feats? Okay, what else makes a superhero? Spandex? They have to have an origin story. Anonymity, so they need a dual identity. They need to be good. I'm a legal scholar. If I'm going to define what a superhero is, I can go to the case law. There's a legal definition of a superhero. In the 1940s, Detective Comics, who was the publisher of Superman comics, took Brunn's publications to court for copyright infringement because they created another superhero called Wonder Man. And Wonder Man was essentially a knockoff of Superman. The only difference was he wore red as opposed to blue. Peter Coogan, who is a superhero scholar, actually draws upon this case to provide a definition of the superhero, the key characteristics. They have a pro-social mission. They're described as champions of the oppressed and battling against evil and injustice. They do good, generally. They normally have superpowers or advanced technology or highly developed physical, mental or mystical skills, and they have a distinct identity. Code name, an iconic costume, often spandex, often a dual identity. Now we can add one more point to that, which is generally the superhero also has a supervillain or an arch nemesis. They have the big bad guy that they fight. We've talked about the superhero genre a little bit. We've talked about what is a superhero. There are a number of critiques that get laid at the superhero genre. One is that the superhero genre produces passivity in the watchers or readers. That is, instead of us going out and engaging the world, engaging in things that potentially will improve the world, that will make changes, we're positioned with the sense that, well, in order to solve the world's problems, you really need superpowers. And of course, most of us don't have superpowers, so therefore, we need to rely on others rather than take action ourselves. It positions us as helpless, the helpless citizens that need the superhero. One sort of proviso to this is the way in which the superhero genre has been taken up in politics and social activism in a number of ways in the last 15 years. There's some sort of funny ways of this, like the superheroes appear in the American election campaigns at various points in time. But there's also social activist groups that explicitly engage the superhero genre as a way to sort of promote particular social movements. The other critique that gets laid at the superhero genre is that it's simply a revenge narrative. It's simply the privileging of extra-legal violence, the privileging of going beyond the law to achieve a form of rough justice, And it presumes the inadequacy of our social institutions. It presumes the inadequacy of the law. And it presents an individualist notion of revenge, that revenge is something good, something satisfying, something should be achieved. One of the responses to these critiques, and part of it comes from the comic book writers themselves, so clearly they have a stake in the whole thing, but is that the superhero genre is actually about teaching a mode of virtue, a mode of ethics. So Alan Moore and Grant Morrison, so two big name comic book writers, make comments like the fact that they learnt their morals from Superman. That these stories focus on a range of moral questions. The superheroes are presented with moral dilemmas that they have to work through. This is about teaching virtue. This is about teaching ethics and justice. Peter Coogan says Superman presents right and wrong very clearly and distinctly. He uses his power to help others and to stand up against powerful and selfish forces. So, next question. What virtues or values do you think the superhero genre potentially teaches? If any. Good wins. So, it's a form of justice. Perseverance. Towards the end of the film or the end of the narrative, there's something additional that the superhero needs to do to push through to defeat the villain or to win in the end. Self-sacrifice. Duty. So there's often this sense of duty about what should be done. Justice. These are revenge narratives at one level, but there's a working through of what is the difference between justice and vengeance, or justice and revenge. Are they the same thing or are they something different? I'm going to pick up a couple of clips that look at that point in particular. So this is from the film Batman Begins, which is one of the many tellings of Batman's origin story. And we have Bruce Wayne, before he becomes Batman, who saw when he was a kid his parents shot and killed. The man who did that had just been released and he had been killed by somebody else. And so this discussion about justice and vengeance, this is set up as this key scene as to why Bruce Wayne becomes Batman. And it's this distinction between the selfishness of vengeance, wanting to kill the man who had killed his parents, versus a sense of justice. And so Rachel Dawes, the assistant district attorney, says justice is about harmony, or revenge is about making yourself feel better. And she presents this as a justification for an impartial system, justification for the legal system and the law. And the film actually supports that. The film says, no, this is actually important. Having a mechanism of justice separate from individual vengeance is important, even though it's also premised on the fact that it's broken and that it doesn't actually work properly. The system itself is important. The next clip I'm going to show is from Captain America Civil War, which is all about revenge. And it's about Black Panther seeking revenge for the killing of his father. It's about Iron Man, Tony Stark, seeking revenge for the killing of his parents. And it presents this whole narrative of vengeance. But the way the film resolves all these vengeance plots is not by seeing revenge carried out, but a letting go of the desire for vengeance. So, if the superhero genre teaches virtue, and there's a range of different virtues that we've sort of referred to, there's also a problem, I think, with the type of virtue that it teaches, or in particular, the way in which the superhero develops their virtue. And the problem is that it's always positioned as being developed through trauma, through loss, through guilt. There's so many superheroes that are orphans, and the loss of their parents is this driving force of why they become a superhero, or other sort of traumatic experiences. And it's developed through the superhero distinguishing themselves from and having to defeat the villain. Now, part of the problem of that is the superhero genre ends up being a battle between good and evil that's premised on this structural dependence, that you can't really have a superhero that demonstrates how good and amazing they are unless they have a really strong villain that they have to defeat. So the goodness of the superhero becomes almost defined by the badness of the supervillain. So we have this structural connection between good and evil.
Stay tuned for part two coming soon. And look out for our next Bait the Hook event, scheduled to take place after the Easter holiday period. If you'd like to hear more great messages, check out our Facebook page or look us up on the net at cornerstone-church.com.au.